guys, we're about ready to go?
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Michael's going to open it up.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the public workshop put on by the California Parks Forward Commission. My name is Michael Wu. I'm a member of the Parks Forward Commission. And let me ask each member of the panel up here to introduce themselves, starting with Elva Yanez to my right.
Hi, my name is Elva Yanez. I'm a commissioner on the California State Park and Rec Commission.
My name is Paul Younger Witt. I'm a commissioner on the California State Parks and Recreation Commission. Thank you.
I'm Ken Wiseman. I'm the executive director of Parks Forward.
Good afternoon. I'm Eric Ponsley from Kearns and West. I'm going to be serving as the lead facilitator for this afternoon.
I'm Kelsey Ragani, also with Kearns and West, and I'll be the note taker this afternoon.
I'm Steve Trainer. I'm retired division chief for Southern California, working currently for Parks Forward through with Kim.
And one member of our team in the back, Carl Knapp, who's got to take a call, but he'll be back up here, and he's also part of the Parks Forward team and the chief of facilities for the state park system.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's continue with Ken to tell us about what we're going to do today.
Well, and I'm going to work with Eric to kind of set up the day and get our PowerPoint going. And so I'll let Eric kind of start the process, and then he and I and Kelsey take turn just going back and letting you know how we're going to make it all work together.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Ken. So a couple words of overview for the day today. And before I do that, just wanted to explain a little bit Kelsey and my role today. So we work for Kearns and West, which is a stakeholder engagement and collaborative solutions firm with offices in San Francisco and in Davis, California. And our role has been to support the initiative in helping to design and facilitate these public workshops. There are three of them. We met in San Rafael last week, Los Angeles today, in Sacramento on Thursday coming up. And another key role for us in this process is to essentially try to synthesize some of the common themes that we hear across the public workshops. And we've been asked to prepare a summary report that will be posted on the website and presented to the commission, the Parks Forward Commission, at their next meeting. So our role in a nutshell. Also want to make sure that your time here is productive and well spent today, and that you are able to provide good, effective input into the process. All right, so objectives for today. Two main ones. The first one is an update of sorts. We want to make sure that everyone participating today is up to speed on the latest ongoings with the Parks Forward Initiative, and Ken will be providing that shortly. After that is really the main purpose for why we're here, and we are requesting public input around key recommendations that have been developed by the Parks Forward Commission. In particular, these are in the form of the staff working draft that was released on April 23rd, and so that document reflects the latest thinking of this process that has been going on now for nearly a year in terms of the types of draft recommendations that are being considered by the commission. And there are seven main recommendation topics that are on the slide here, but I want to read them to you because they really are the focus of our time together today. The first is building an effective Department of Parks and Recreation, creating a new organization to support parks, protecting natural and cultural resources, improving access for all Californians, promoting healthy lifestyles and communities, engaging youth, and securing predictable, stable sources of public funding. So these are the seven topic areas around which specific recommendations are being developed, and we would really like to hear from you today, your thoughts on those recommendations to date. So the way that the day is going to move forward is after these introductory comments, I'm going to turn it back to Ken, who's going to provide everyone here with an update on the Parks Forward Initiative, and we'll pause after Ken's presentation to take any clarifying questions that folks might have, just to make sure that everybody is current. And then after that, we've structured this public workshop into two main parts and two different ways by which participants can provide comment. And the first, we're calling a gallery walk, and if you look over to the left side of the, or your right side of the room, my left. We've set up seven tables with wall chart paper on them, and each of those tables is focused on one of those main recommendation topics that I just went over. And what we'd like you to do is to with the staff working draft in hand, think about what are some of the key comments you would have, the most important things you would like to share with the commission about that draft, and go over there and write them down on a sticky note, and then place that sticky note in the column that represents the specific recommendation that you're commenting on. And we have columns that actually cover more general comments as well. And I'll give a little bit more guidance later on how that will run. But so that's an opportunity to provide written comments on any of the recommendations, and we encourage you to comment on as many as are of interest to you. That will run about a half an hour, and then we'll come back from that and engage in essentially the second part of this public workshop, which is providing oral comment. And we've structured this in two oral or public comment sessions, one that will run from around 4 to a little after 5. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do another public comment session. And then the reason we designed it this way is because we acknowledge that some folks are just not able to get away during working hours to participate in public workshops or meetings like this, so we wanted to make sure we had a second public comment session that started after 5 o'clock. If you stay for both, you will have two bites at the apple and can come make comments twice. Otherwise, we encourage everyone to stay because we think it's important to hear other people's comments as well. But we anticipate that some people may leave during the break, and other people will be coming in at that point. After we've received all the public comment in that second session, we'll end with closing remarks and next steps, and then close for the day. So that's an overview for this afternoon. We used a similar structure in San Rafael last week, and we thought that it was pretty effective, and participants thought that their time was well spent. One last thing I want to do before we move on is just propose some ground rules for everyone here today. Just a rules of engagement by which we can act together effectively. One is we want to invite you to really focus your inputs and comments on the objectives of the meeting today, and in particular on those seven recommendation topics that appear in the staff working draft. Secondly, we really encourage input from everybody. We want everyone to participate. We ask you to honor the agenda, and in particular the time limits that are set for oral comment. We ask everyone to be respectful, acknowledging that there may be a series or a wide diversity of different views represented in the room today. And then finally, if you have not yet done so, please turn your phone to silent or off. So do these ground rules work for folks today? They seem. Thank you. We love people who like the ground rules. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, I think I'm going to turn it back over to Ken, and Ken is going to provide an overview of where Parks has been and where we are today, and a preview of where things are moving in the months to come.
Thank you, Eric, and I see many familiar faces out in the audience, so I'll try to make it interesting as we review where many of you have been along the journey with us. As you know, our group came out of legislation that asked for an independent advisory committee after the troubles that were discovered at the Parks Department as it related to money not fully disclosed. There were 12 commissioners appointed, and their job, and Michael Wu is one of 12, is to assess and make recommendations for addressing the long-term sustainability of the state park system. Pretty broad mission. So that's what I say, we've been trying to get it down to those key points that how we do that. The staff is myself and my deputy Melissa Delber, who met you in the back, is our administrator and logistics person. We're a small group. We are funded by the Resource Legacy Fund, a group of foundations that have worked together, that have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Parks and Recreation and the Resources Legacy Fund. We have a joint agreement memorandum of understanding. We have Carl is one of the staff people that, in addition to his day job, also gives us lots of time and guidance. And then we have retired annuitants like Steve, who are also on as consultants, helping us get this right and make sure that we have the proper perspective. We started by engaging with the park staff, who are the people that keep this system working and are going to be the ones that we have to count on to lead us forward. We surveyed them last August. We did focus groups with them to determine. We did 10 public workshops, one in this room with many of you here. And the commission itself has been doing work groups on specific topics. We did a second round of started a second round of staff focus groups and these public workshops after we put out our working draft plan. We've taken comments from the website. We had a phenomenal presentation at our Sacramento Commission meeting by Manuel Pastor, who is a member of the commission, and I commend that to you as a real driver for us in speaking to the new California. We've talked about the financial concerns and what we need to do to get the Parks Department with the kind of systems that we can have confidence in. We had a partnership consultant on how we have partnerships, how Parks can be a good partner, and then future analysis as far as impacts research, a report that was presented here in LA a few months ago talking about who our customer is and how we have to be responsive to the future of California, which is in most terms you would say a young Latino millennial that has a pet and likes to be out in nature. And so those are the kind of things that we have said that we have to pay attention to and be relevant to. And then we've also had a public funding consultant, Forward Observer, to talk about the different ways we get to sustainable funding. The commission process is we've had four meetings, and as I said, we've had these partnership work groups on public health and on park access, and again, many of you participated in that. And on April 23rd, we issued a staff working draft, which was first discussed by our commission on April 30th, and I call your attention to that staff working draft. It was written by staff. It wasn't written by the commission. We felt it reflected a lot of what we had heard at the previous three meetings and what we'd heard in the workshops and what we heard from you all, but it was staff work. The commission now is taking that apart and saying this is, you know, how do we make this as effective and informative as possible. And I think that if you followed our last meeting, the co-chair Kehoe said, good draft, but I want to get it even more focused. I want to capture all the good ideas, but I want more than to capture the 3 to 5 that will allow us to implement those good ideas and the things that will drive us so that we can take all this and prioritize it and move it forward. So we are working on revising that staff draft with our commission. There will be another iteration of that out in July. We have an August 6th commission meeting in San Diego. Then in mid-October to mid-November in Sacramento, we'll have a draft. We will adopt a report. But then we'll come back in the spring of the following year to make sure that report is being acted on and followed up on. Again, that's what we hear from our commissioners, is that we don't want this to be a report that sits on a shelf. It's got to be a report that's an action report, can address the many things that you have brought to us, but focus on the ways that we can make sure that gets...
And if I can add one thing here, so just to explain how the process of the input that you are providing today folds into this, that Ken mentioned that there will be a revised draft report for the commission that will come out in July, and what will happen is that the commission will be... taking a look at the comments that we received from you today, including those on the sticky notes. They'll be taking a look at the report that we provide that synthesizes some of the common themes that we heard across the three public workshops, and including some of the differences that we may hear from the different geographies, so that in the next version of that draft that is the focus of discussion at the August 6th meeting of the commission, that it's in that draft that we're hoping that the plan is to incorporate what we learned from these public workshops and from the focus group work we've done with staff.
Right, and again, I think that and we've heard from many people that say, well, my specific issue isn't, you know, on the first couple of pages, and even though there are some issues that we have called out and have continually been very much discussed at these workshops and focus groups, but we're trying to have a way where we can make sure those issues are called out, but again, have that process, that organization, that follow through that will allow us to address those and prioritize those. So.
Yeah, so before we move on with the afternoon, we did want to pause here and just take a moment to see if folks have just any clarifying questions about the Parks Forward Initiative and where we are in the process and how things are expected to move forward from now on.
And the microphone with the little red light is available if you had any questions or comments.
Yeah, or Steve has
Steve's got the remote if we bring it to you. Okay, we've got... Okay.
All right. So if you do have questions over the course of the day, just let us know. All right, how about I'll take back. So I'm going to describe how the gallery walk is going to work. So we're going to move now into our next activity, and if you look over here, you'll see there are seven tables, and each table is a station that is focused on one of those seven main recommendation topics that I read through at the beginning, and each one includes a column with the specific recommendation, and all of these are captured in the these are just pulled directly from the staff working draft. So if you don't have a copy of this, Delbert does have some in the back, and very much encourage you to grab one. The way it'll work is that we'll take a half hour or so, or as much time as we need. We have a little bit of a smaller group here today currently, but to refresh your memory by looking through the staff working draft, go over there, grab a sticky note, write a comment on a particular recommendation, and then put the sticky note in the appropriate place, and then continue on. And this, we really intended this activity to provide you with the opportunity to provide comments on all of them. This is in addition to the time you will have to do the oral public comment later on. This activity also provides you with an opportunity to actually read some of the other sticky notes and to see what other people are saying. And we're hoping to use that that exercise as a way of stimulating the public comment that will appear or that will take place afterwards. One other thing is. You're invited to actually put sticky notes up on those wall charts throughout the meeting today. If you have another one you want to add in the middle of the public comment period, you're welcome to go over there and do that. People who are coming in later are going to be given instructions on how to do this, and you should have, when you came in, received a document that says gallery walk instructions, and this provides all the information you need. I do want to go over... The topics in a little more detail and then review some of the guiding questions that we have for you. So these, again, are the seven recommendation topics that are the focus. And again, we're really asking you to focus your input and comment today on the recommendations on these topics. And to help frame them for you, I'm going to turn it back over to Ken just a little bit to provide just a little bit of background on some of these to help you understand better how staff, the staff working draft got to where it did today. And Ken, I also think it would be good to share the bigger picture background about sort of the need to make the case for additional funding and how this report fits into that.
Right. And I think as we've talked to staff and much of the public, the desire is to let's get more funding, adequate funding for parks. And that's really what we're trying to do. But we need to know what is that number, what does it take. We need to have systems in place so we can know what it truly costs to run a park, because we're woefully behind on those things. So we are about getting the voters to invest in the state park system by better understanding it and having confidence that investment will be well spent. And as we got down to these seven areas, and many of you have specific issues that you've brought forward, and you'll see that your issue may fit into a couple of these different categories. But by focusing on these categories, that we think that's how we make sure that we stay relevant and motivated to make sure that your issues are addressed. And clearly, the mission of parks to protect cultural net. Natural and cultural resources, and how we do that, how the department tells us what is working, what is not, and we've spent a lot of time with that, and have gotten a lot of good information. We also want to improve access for all Californians. As we talked about, it's a changing California. A lot of California has not had access to parks. We need to make sure that they have access so they understand the value of parks. We have a physician on our commission, along with Michael Wu, Dr. Stephen Lockhart, who heads the Sutter, is the chief physician for Sutter Health in the Bay Area, and has been very instrumental in bringing forth the importance of parks to promoting healthy lifestyles, to cutting health care costs, and that is something that's very relevant to community. Stephen believes, I love his term, it's called, he believes that parks are the gateway drug to good health. And he promotes that and has statistics to prove when you get outside and you work and you exercise, your diabetes goes down, obesity goes down. There's a real value here. So that's something that's really important. And of course, engaging youth is our future. The study that we did with Impacts Consulting about the new customer, this 29% of the population that was born between 1980 and 2000, these millennials, I've got two of them in my house. But they're going to decide the next six presidential elections, and they're going to decide how we support parks. So it's real important that we engage them and we engage the things that are important to them. And, of course, we have to do that with an effective department. And this is a department that's done amazing things but not had consistent resources. We had John Jarvis, the National Parks Director, out at our last commission meeting, and he talked about how one advantage of the National Park Service, which is the park system that we really compare to ours, is they have had relatively stable funding. It's gone up and down a little. They had sequester and they've had some things, but it's been basically there. We have not had that in parks. It's gone up and down along with our economy, and what's happened is training and development programs just get decimated, and positions don't get filled, and so you're doing more and more with less and less. We need to step back, and that is one of the recommendations of having an internal efficiency study and build an effective, what does a Department of Parks and Rec, how should it look, and then build that. And then on the outside, perhaps create a new organization to support parks. One of the things that has, many of you have worked with friends groups and partners as communities have wanted to do business with parks. It's been difficult to do business with parks, but partnerships have to be a win-win situation on both sides. And so the thought is to create an organization that promotes the ability of the friends groups and the support groups to really help parks and not only raise revenue but raise awareness and celebrate all that there is good in parks. And of course, this last one is the securing the predictable, stable sources of public funding, and knowing that we cannot just have parks sustain themselves on admissions. And that's not, I think most everyone has made it clear that we need to absolutely enhance every opportunity we have to have reasonable fee collection and manage that well. But there's going to always have to be a basic level of general fund revenue or some secure fund to protect these treasures that will not be able to generate revenue to cover costs. And that, I think, has been pretty much accepted as part of the commission will have to at least set this up. Not that we're going to say to the legislature and the governor what is the magic thing to do. There's a lot of different options on the table. But what we have to do is create the organization and the absolute controls and enhanced opportunities that show that we can run a great park system and it is worth investing so we can have secure and predictable funding.
Great. And Ken, one of the things on the next to last on the create new organization, could you speak briefly about the relationship between that and an existing organization, State Parks Foundation, that is somewhat similar?
Yes. And what we've heard from, it's the experience of the last couple of years, is that the many friends groups, that some that were newly formed, some that had been a long time in existence, really felt that there needed to be an easier way to interface with parks, and that there were a lot of groups that, if they were really there to support parks and had the ability to do partnerships more easily, that it would be a great way to make sure that parks were healthy and that we could learn a lot from the last few years. There is the California Parks Foundation, and it has done some parts of that, but there are other parts that it hasn't done, and parts that clearly the public has told us they feel if there was an outside organization that was there to help parks, not to be another barrier. If anything, the main thing we've heard is it needs to be an organization that is removing barriers. And we've seen examples of many in the state and federal system where there are friends groups that are there there partnering hand-in-hand with parks personnel, removing roadblocks. And I think that's the main thing, is not creating a roadblock, but removing a roadblock. Roadblocks that don't allow us to get to solving problems, building partnerships, and taking on issues that need to be addressed with the community. And we've heard those in key issues like pets and clothing optional and things like that that need process and attention, and that a group like this would be able to help encourage that and promote solutions that can be win-win.
Okay, thank you, Ken. And just wanted to note that the initials that show up at the end of each recommendation topic, these are our shorthand ways of referring to them. And so as you prepare your sticky notes, comments, if you could put both those letters and the number of the recommendation that it's referring to on your sticky note this week, and make sure that the note doesn't appear in the wrong column so we misinterpret. So I'm going to wait one more slide here by way of introduction, and we would like to ask, I guess, provide some guidance and recommendations for how to focus your feedback. One thing we're really interested in hearing from the public with regard to the draft recommendations are pros and cons, or strengths and weaknesses, or what works or what doesn't work for you for a particular recommendation. Secondly, we'd love to hear your suggestions for improvements. How can you make this recommendation better so it's better addressing the challenge being faced by state parks? And then next, have we missed something? You know, are there additional recommendations that need to be added to the commission's report coming out? We want to make sure we're not missing anything there. And then as you're thinking about those, we also want to ask you to think about a little bit about the implementation, about how, you know, will this work? And so we want to ask you to think about the likely effectiveness of the recommendations, thinking about the challenges facing state parks that are articulated in the staff working draft. Will these recommendations address them? We want to hear your thoughts on that. And then secondly, some of these recommendations have a number of action items that are bulleted within the report. And we'd like to hear your thoughts on, do you think those sets of actions will actually help to implement the recommendation? And if not, what could be done to improve it, or what could be added to it? So we'll leave this slide up there to help stimulate your thinking. Again, these are all listed in the document with the instructions. So at this point, I'm going to recommend we break into the gallery walk, and this means make sure you have a copy of the staff working draft, and we'll have copies. Staff will be around the tables to help answer questions. Please consider all of the recommendations. Grab a sticky note, write your comments, put them in the appropriate column, see what other people are writing, and I propose we reconvene at 4 o'clock, and then we will move at that point into our oral public comment session.
And again, what we learned in our first workshop in San Rafael last week is that there will be some folks that come after 5, so we'll repeat this again, but when we finish public comment here, those of you who have made your comment, and it will be easy and a good time to adjourn, but then we'll wait for the next group to come, and there will be somebody here till 7 o'clock tonight, even though we learned before most people are here in the front side, but we want to make that option available.
Okay, so we're gonna go into the activity right now. This will not be webcast. They'll be taking a break, but then we'll invite you as well to, when we do the oral comment afterwards, to please share those most important ideas you wanted to express to the commission.
And plenty of refreshments in the back, so please help yourself to that, and we'll see you at 4 o'clock.
Okay, and we'll be around to answer any questions you have as we go. You ready?
I'll start up.
Hey, Bob. You guys good? All right, great. Welcome back, everyone. And thank you for those of you who provided comments on the sticky notes. Just to let you know that as part of the summary report that we'll be putting together, we'll be incorporating those comments as well, and we'll prepare an appendix that includes all of them. So they will appear there verbatim. That's why we wanted to make sure that we're slotting them into the right section. Before we do the public comment now, just wanted to remind everyone that the Parks Forward initiative is on an ongoing basis, welcoming feedback. feedback, and there are different ways of providing that outside of these public workshops. You can go to the website and submit online. You can email Parks Forward Initiative at info@parksforward.com, or you can send mail via U.S. Postal Service to the address that is up on the slide right now. And so with that, we're going to shift now to a public comment session, and I have received a suite of public speaker cards for the comment session, and want to see, is there anyone who wants to get in the queue to provide oral comment at this point who has not submitted a card? And if so, just raise your hand and Steve will get one to you. Okay. So what I'll do is I'm going to essentially read the name of the folks who are in the queue and invite you to come in one at a time to the mic up there. I think we have set a 3-minute time limit for comments, and ask you to adhere to that as well. So we're going to start with Gary Mussel, followed by Bill Duff, and then Jerry Emery. And if you could start by reading, giving your name and any affiliation.
Right. I'm Gary Mussel, Friends of Bates Beach, which is up in Santa Barbara County. Good to see you all again. It was last year in February, and I want to talk on the same topic because it was not addressed in your most recent draft, and I will keep speaking until I see it in your most recent draft. I represent now more than just myself. When I was here before, we had the comment of saying, why don't you get together with all the other naturist and nudist groups in California, because right now you're all kind of speaking at different places. And I said, okay. So since February, we've all gotten together ourselves, banged out an agreement as to how to approach this. So I now can say I represent 25 different naturist groups throughout California, including the Naturist Action Committee, which is a national organization, and the American Association for Nudist Recreation Government Affairs. So we are speaking with one voice when I talk here, and with the written proposal that we will be giving you. I just want to remind you that your proposal says that the parks have an obligation to make the parks accessible to serve the diverse recreational interest of the public. We are part of that diversity. We are a very large diversity. Any given weekend, you will find several thousand nudists hiking up in the different parks, enjoying the lakes, all pretty much out of sight of your deputies and rangers, but enjoying the day and looking over their shoulders to be sure nobody else is coming down the path behind them. We'd very much like to have the ability to enjoy that without the legal consequences. And right now, you can do that. You can recommend to the commission and to the Parks Department that they act on Section 4322 of Title 14 of the regulations, because it says that the Parks Department has the power to designate clothing optional places in California in the park system. We don't need any new laws. We don't need any new regulations. All we need is the will of the commission to act on that. We have developed a plan which we'll be sending in to you. We've all finally got our heads together on that. I should let you know that there was a poll we did a few years ago. 79% of the public thinks it's a good idea to have designated areas for nude recreation. The millennials certainly have not the same inhibitions that the adults have. Our generation are the ones with the hang-ups. The generation that you're trying to attract in the parks are the ones with no hang-ups, and they want a skinny dip. And if you want the people in, you're going to have to address that or just lose a lot of those people. The other thing that I've got on here before I run out of time is that you designate areas already for hunters, for bridal trails, for off-road vehicles, for camping, and for bicycling. All we want is to be considered part of that same group of special interest. It's no different than that, and we just want a piece of the pie. And we're happy to work with you and work on where we can do this stuff in the future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Gary. Okay. So next I have Jerry Emery, followed by Bill Duff. Yes, Bill Duff, followed by...
Andy,
Oh, do I have a card for... Manny. For Manny. Okay. So Bill, Manny, and then Jerry. Thank you.
Like a baseball team here.
Batting order.
Batting order. Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. I'm Bill Duff, a trustee of the Board of Directors of the California State Parks Foundation. I'm the Scottish representative of that organization, if you didn't pick up the accent already. On behalf of the State Parks Foundation, we're pleased, first up front, that the Commission's draft report acknowledges the work of our Park Excellence Report, which was a report that was undertaken by ourselves and Save the Redwoods League jointly back in 2010. It was a pretty detailed report, and I won't go into all the details, but there were web surveys, there were polls, all sorts of activities. So it was a very well-researched report. On reading your report, we strongly support your emphasis on engaging all Californians in our state park system. We also strongly endorse the report's theme of more effective and equitable partnerships. And you'll be hearing more on that from my colleagues. And at the end of all of this, I think you're going to get an overall written commentary from the State Parks Foundation. I'd like to specifically address the recommendation for a new support entity, however. And while we're intrigued by the idea of a new special purpose entity to support our state park system, we have questions and concerns with the articulated portfolio for such an entity in that draft report. We believe new support entity needs a clarity of focus and an appropriately scaled portfolio to make sure it's truly doing the most effective and efficient work to make our state park system excellent. Creation of any or more than one new entity, either entirely private or public-private, should be undertaken only to fill gaps that exist and not to create duplication. We agree that several of the functions listed for the support entity need to be achieved through greater involvement by one or perhaps several outside partners. But some of the functions described are already being done well by existing organizations. I'll touch on one. Communications, marketing, digital information and tools. At the Foundation, we pride ourselves in our constituency building efforts and have built an independent base of more than 130,000 members. While that base is a great start, we have long seen the need for an expansive, aspirational public awareness campaign that will make parks more relevant and attractive to all Californians. This has been something that we have worked on for some time, and we've not done it just internally at the Foundation. We put together a team of experienced people from the PR and communication business sector. And they were very, very interactive, and it's resulted in a fairly good plan, which we have put together. Now, the rollout of that campaign, is not yet fully funded, and our work in this regard is another example of an existing capacity the State Parks Foundation has developed and that it should be built upon and not duplicated. I'd like to slip a question in here for consideration later too. I chickened out of asking it to earlier, Ken, so forgive me. I saw on one of your slides the various groups that you talked to and interviewed. I didn't see any reference to any other state or any their state park system. I know you talked to Jarvis about the national park system. The reason I ask that question is I hike a lot here in Southern California, love the state parks here. I also hike the Oregon ones because I have a daughter that lives up there. There is a lot we could learn from Oregon. There really is a lot. For instance, they have clean toilets, which has always been a concern with the state parks down here for some reason. But what brought it to my attention today was you had these little models of these cabins. They've just introduced a whole set of these cabins up in the state parks in Oregon. We just have to go over the state line and have a look at them. And you may be aware of this.
We have spent a lot of time with Oregon and Washington, South Carolina, Montana, Georgia. So that was those were part of Mr. Jarvis's conversations and members of our commission, because they, like you, have hiked in Oregon and Washington. And so and Washington is going through a similar process that we are. So we are watching that very carefully. They've kind of put theirs on hold, and we're watching why that happened and why they slowed down. But we're also noticing the success.
I'm glad to hear that. It's just it wasn't on your slide, and I felt it was an aspect. Anyway, I'll shut up now. But thank you once again for the chance to provide some comments.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill. Manny? Manuel Grace, followed by Jerry Emery. And then Shona Granguli.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. My name is Manuel Grace, and I'm a trustee of the Board of Directors of the California State Parks Foundation. On behalf of the California State Parks Foundation, we would like to thank the Commission for incorporating a lot of the great ideas that were generated by California State Parks Foundation in our Park Excellence Report. It indicates that the Commission understands that there are other organizations who have clear guidance, proficiency, and understanding about these issues, and a great deal of concern about the issues. The one area I'd like to speak to is also to piggyback on the earlier comments from Bill Duff, is about the new support agent, the new support group, the new support entity that's mentioned in the report. State Parks Foundation, as you know, has been working for many years tirelessly to work on organizational capacity and effectiveness strategies on behalf of the department. We think the definition of this new support entity has to be more clearly articulated so that it doesn't create an agency or an entity that does things duplicative, overlapping, and sometimes in conflict with other organizations, other nonprofit organizations, such as the California State Parks Foundation, that are already clearly handling a lot of these matters on behalf of DPR and doing it effectively. For example, we have deep and extensive relationships with the communities and with local, especially nonprofit park partners. In 2012, we launched a technical assistance center to provide leadership, training, expertise, and funding to increase the capacity and effectiveness of park supporting organizations. So we are teaching other nonprofit organizations about how to support the DPR, how to support our park systems. In the past year and a half, we have retained consultants in fundraising, communications, park operations, planning board development, and financial literacy. We've provided services to more than 45 organizations through a combination of free consulting services, webinars, in-person convenings, meetings, or consultant office hours to help those nonprofit organizations to provide services for the department. I see the support entity as being the glue that helps the department reach out to the local communities. And that's the work that's currently being done by State Parks Foundation and other organizations and being done effectively. Why create another entity that overlaps with the good work that's already being done by these nonprofit organizations? If we're going to create a support entity, we have to clearly articulate what its agenda is to make sure that it doesn't overlap and conflict with the great work that's already been done by other nonprofit organizations. The report that this commission has put together asks the department to think differently, act more effectively. And we are challenging the commission staff itself to do that as well. When you come up with recommendations such as the recommendation for the support entity, think differently, act more efficiently, and not come up with a competing plan. And not come up with a completing plan of overlapping organizations. Instead, look at what's working here right now and see what we can do to incorporate that into the already existing plan. I think there should be more of an incorporation of what State Parks Foundation is doing in the efforts of the new entity, and then build out those areas where State Parks Foundation isn't providing those services. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Manuel. Next is Jerry Emery, followed by Shona Ganguli.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak this afternoon. My name is Jerry Emery. I'm the Vice President for Communications and Programs at the California State Parks Foundation. And as many of you already know or probably know, the CSPF is the only statewide independent nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting, enhancing, and advocating for California's magnificent state parks. We're committed to improving the quality of life for all Californians by expanding access to the natural beauty, rich culture, and history and recreational and educational opportunities afforded by our amazing 280 state parks. We have a large and broad portfolio as an organization. Despite our name, we are not a traditional foundation, like many others that are solely grant-making entities. We have a broad programmatic agenda that is aligned with our mission and focused principally on four pillars. Excuse me. Advocacy, creating connections between people and their parks, improving our parks, and strengthening the community of park partners. In our advocacy work, we have sponsored legislation to defend our parks from threats, pushed for increased budget allocations for the department, championed the statewide effort in Prop 21 to provide sustainable funding for our parks, and authored the legislation to enable new models of park management by nonprofit organizations. One of the many ways we help connect people to their parks is through grassroots efforts that enable park visitors and supporters to send us their stories, photos, and messages about why they love their parks. We use them in our publications, our very large Facebook following, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. We also founded a program called Hidden Stories 5 years ago that was mentioned by one of my board members. Excuse me. That helps to discover. This might help also. I have my glasses. It helps to discover and examine the roles and truly hidden stories of diverse groups of Californians and their parks as a way to connect with them. Our Park Champions volunteer program, in conjunction with DPR, trains concerned citizens and empowers them to lead teams of volunteers and parks to park improvement projects and other restoration efforts. Our ongoing capital projects work to improve specific park units where we have been asked by the department for partnership, including the design and progress of LA State Historic Park, a major wetlands restoration project at Candlestick State Recreation Area, the first urban state park in California, and the restoration of the historic Pigeon Point Light Station. Strengthening the park partnership community has been an area of priority and core competency for CSPF for almost a decade now. We saw years ago that successful models in our parks, innovation, and true and sustained connections with park visitors occurred in places where strong partners work successfully alongside the state. Through our competitive discretionary grant program and our challenge grants, we have directly funded partners from every corner of the state.
You can keep going.
And Manny Grace just spoke to our Technical Assistance Center and the success we've had with that over the last 2 years. It's really quite an exciting development to see these other nonprofits throughout the state build capacity and really grow. As you heard from my board members, we have taken a very close look at the recommendations for a support entity and the ways it might relate to work already underway at CSPF, and we look forward to continuing that conversation with you. I'd also like to offer some comments on the recommendations regarding improving access for Californians. From our perspective, the issue that is most salient in this section is the fourth bullet point, but it is missing a laser focus on a core issue, and that is one of programming. Making parks relevant to more Californians and new park visitors is ultimately about ensuring their effective, interesting, and engaging programming in parks. What is happening in a park that makes Californians want to visit or use it or see it as an extension of their personal or family priorities and lifestyle? For many people, their first visit to a state park will be because of an event or a special activity beckons them. We believe that a more comprehensive approach to programming would make a huge difference in encouraging greater use of state parks. Can I have like one more minute, perhaps?
We have a crowd. We can let you do that, but if you wrap it up, that's
sure.
We want you to finish it.
Among many others in terms of great programs or great models right here in Los Angeles. Rio de Los Angeles State Park that embodies the success of partnership and programming. On one side, there's state parks, and on the other side is the city of LA. It has both natural areas and great recreation opportunities. L.A. State Historic Park is one of the most significant examples of a park whose very design and construction is about relevancy. It's used for community programming, public affairs, concerts and special events, local campouts for youth, and more than that, even without significant traditional amenities in the park. And the public will come back to that park time and time again. There are great models elsewhere in the state park system also, and we urge the commission to learn from what is working and build on those examples. Thank you very much for indulging my going over the time.
Great. Thank you very much, Jerry. And I just want to thank the speakers to date who have directed their comments towards specific recommendations within the different topics. Very helpful. So we have Shona Ganguly, and I'll invite you to
help
with that. And then Charlotte Miyamoto.
Okay, it's, I'm Shona Ganguly. Hi. Hopefully the circadian rhythm hasn't hit you. You know, it's an afternoon meeting after all. Thank you so much for having me. I'm from the Nature Conservancy, a leading international conservation organization. I'm going to talk briefly about three things: the natural and cultural resources section, fiscal management, and partnerships. First, I want to say that the Nature Conservancy believes that state parks are a refuge for many species of wildlife, so there should be an emphasis not only on natural resources, but on the species and habitat that exist in state parks. Also, the Nature Conservancy has helped protect at least 120,000 acres of our state parks. We've also helped protect over 130,000 acres of land within or adjacent to existing refuges that are managed by DFG and WCB, the Wildlife Conservation Board. So obviously this is something that is important to us. So one of the things that we agree with is a sustainable funding source for state parks, and that may not be one source. We believe that there are multiple funding mechanisms that should be explored to maintain, protect, and restore parks. State parks should not have to aim for self-sufficiency. Funding for acquisition and natural resource stewardship are not easily connected to user fees, as Mr. Weissman noted at the beginning of the presentation. So state parks should have some dependable level of support from the state as well. In terms of partnerships, conducting due diligence to ensure the right strategic partnerships is key to the viability of the state park system. We recommend developing long-term conservation plans, an annual plan for partners, and one of the things that we've done that we've seen has been really helpful to generate income is allowing limited grazing or agriculture on appropriate lands as it is possible. Also, I just want to end and say that state parks are a public trust. They're public trust resources that are essential to the fabric of society. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Shona. Charlotte Miyamoto, followed by Joseph Matthews. We'll start with Joseph.
We're going to switch it up on you guys.
All right.
Well, first of all, on behalf of L.A. County, the Board of Supervisors, we want to welcome you to L.A. County. I represent the Department of Parks and Recreation. My name is Joe Matthews, and I'm the legislative liaison. We're here to kind of remind you of a great partnership that's been in existence for a couple years now. The county for decades has managed state parks. Some examples are the Castaic State Recreation Area, Kenneth Hahn State Recreation Area, Placerita Canyon Nature Center. We use from the general fund to fund these programs, to do maintenance, Prop A, the county-funded proposition to maintain these facilities, but we don't get a single dime for the state. What we do is we collectively got together with other agencies such as the East Bay Recreational District and Beaches and Harbors, and we collectively got together and we've been advising state parks for the last 2 years, and we just want to remind the commission that we exist because we didn't see ourselves in your examples of good collaborations, because we think we're doing really good work right now. We're studying things that do affect state parks on a bigger level, and we're doing it on a local level, but that's why we're here, just to kind of remind you that we're here. And Charlotte is just going to kind of say some other things as well. So, well, once again, welcome.
All right. Thank you, Joseph.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thanks for indulging our little change of order there. My name is Charlotte Miyamoto, and I'm with the L.A. County Department of Beaches and Harbors. You know, as Joe mentioned, for decades, I believe since the 70s, we've been really hardworking partners of the state. We manage two state beaches, Dockweiler and Will Rogers. We spend, county spends $10 million annually, near $10 million annually to manage the beaches, you know, clean the restrooms, rake the beaches, provide lifeguarding services. And, of course, we get to keep the revenues from the parking lots and the concessions and things like that. However, there's probably a net, I have that figure, but it costs us much more than what we bring in. So I think I have that number. It's we collect $5.8 million in revenue and spend nearly $10 in costs. So in reading the report, I think we agree with everything that the state is or the commission is proposing. The county has already started on looking at many of those things already. For example, climate change. We know that the beaches are going to be the first line of defense because the county's beaches are close to many residential areas, and we know we have to keep the sand there in order to protect the structures that have been built close to the beaches. And not only there's our structures as well, the parking lots, the restrooms, all these recreational facilities, which we see as extremely, extremely valuable to the community. We are beaches represent, and parks in general, as you all know, represent low-cost recreational opportunities for the citizens of the county. One of the things that I did want to point out is if the commission would consider in one of the recommendations to transfer these assets over to local agencies that have basically taken on the responsibility of managing these facilities for many, many years. We are the boots on the ground. Our staff is right there. If there are issues that visitors have, they come up and they ask our maintenance workers, for example, because we're there we're there all the time. In the summer, we staff up and we're there for even longer during the day. Things like extending the beach season and things like that. We're already thinking about how to get visitors to our beaches and those kinds of things. So if you have any questions about what we do, how we do it, what we're looking at, please don't hesitate to contact us.
Charlotte, I think that this is the first time I've heard the number, because it's one thing we've heard is like, why did the state give away our beaches? We could be making money on them and we should be making money on them. So what you're telling me is that you spend $10 million as the county, but you take in $5.8 million in revenue.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's an important number to have out there, because I think in a lot of our
Okay, here's another number I'd like to have you guys remember. And that is probably over the last 10 years, the county has spent nearly $48 million in capital improvements to those two beaches. So we have replaced restrooms and lifeguard. Constantly building lifeguard towers, restrooms, concession stands, parking lots. So those are the kinds of things that we've been doing. About five years ago, we opened up the Dockweiler Youth Center. It's an 8,000 square foot facility. And so, we bring youths in, we partner with groups like the Audubon Society. We work with Pepperdine University on other environmental issues like protecting the grunions, all those kinds of things.
And you say that $48 million was spent over how long?
10 years.
10 years.
And we have a current project going on at Will Rogers right now, building about a 25 space parking lot with an overview of the beach and things like that. So we're continuing to make improvements to the state beaches.
So that's split between Will Rogers and?
Yes, and I have the breakdown if you'd like the breakdown. So.
And the information up there, I would like, because we often hear a very different story from people who think something else is the case, so that would be a good number to have.
And we apparently over the past few years have been reporting to the state the income and expenses. So we've been doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you much, Charlotte.
Ken, I'd like to turn this into a broader question. It's been interesting listening to the last couple of speakers, and it occurs to me, as a member of the Parks Forward Commission, I don't think I have a very clear understanding, not just locally here in L.A. County, but in general across the state of California. I know there are places where the State Department of Parks and Recreation has partnerships with county or even city agencies. I know there are other parts of the state where the State Department of Parks and Recreation has partnerships with the National Park Service. There may be no simple way to answer this question, but I'm wondering, what is the nature of how these partnerships developed? In some cases, were they based upon revenues? In some cases, are there historical reasons why, in a particular place, why the state was not able to maintain a state parks or beach property, so therefore it was taken up by a county department or somewhere else? Does some of it in some places have to do with geographic proximity of federal and state properties? So I'm just kind of curious about it because I'm, as a result of serving on this commission, I'm aware that there are these partnerships around in different parts of the state, and I'm guessing that there are different reasons, some of which are revenue related, some of which may be geography related, why this has happened. And maybe it would tell us something about the future of partnerships, too.
And I think we've hit, and if you'd like to come up and add to that, I think one of the things we've heard is that indeed all the things you say are happening, and it's in, and one size does not fit all in the great state of California. And what happened in the Redwoods, where it was an ability to save resources and partner together and manage the Redwoods together, you know, very different than what happened in LA County or where there's other opportunities. And that's one of the things that has been proposed for this outside organization could help facilitate some of the questions about how it might better be managed, or bring to the Park and Rec Commission ideas on efficiencies that would encourage the mission without, you know, these other issues that have gotten in the way either because you had three quarters of your property, whatever agency you are, was surrounded by one quarter of somebody else's property, and would there be efficiencies? And we heard testimony at our Orange County thing how the local land trust and the Orange County Parks Department have worked out sharing arrangements where they mutually benefit both the state park and the conservancy land and get very creative about doing that. So that's one of the things we've looked at with how can you encourage those kind of partnerships that are a good partnership because they're a win-win for both sides.
Well, and that's why the State Parks Partnership Coalition was kind of created, because we were starting to find out that other organizations were getting a different kind of deal, and now we share contracts, we share resources, so we're kind of a little group that's already on the forefront to kind of addressing some of those issues, Commissioner. So we also, with the parks, would like to share with you those numbers. We just met with the state director. Unfortunately, he's resigned, but it's like we have to start all over again kind of advocating, so that's why we want to be here today, and just to say we're here, and we're doing the Lord's work for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we have Daphne Sue, followed by Catherine Welsh Howe, followed by Ben McHugh.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Daphne Sue. I'm a staff attorney at the City Project, a nonprofit in Los Angeles.
Can you pull the mic up a little closer?
Thank you for doing this important work. We suggest including a civil rights section in the report. One focus of the report is the need to serve all Californians, and I believe it's distributed to you the documents I have, and on one page is a map of a breakdown of visitors by race and ethnicity to 25 state parks in 2007 to 2009. And as you can see from the map and the pie charts, park attendance is dominated by white non-Hispanic visitors, though California is majority of color during those years. A robust civil rights program would include data collection. So as you can see, when I requested information from state parks, the most recent data they have of visitors by race and ethnicity is from 2007 to 2009. So it's very important to collect data and also analyze and plan to avoid unjustified disparate impacts. train employees on civil rights laws, including Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and California Government Code Section 11135, notifying the public of how to file complaints and collect and investigate complaints, if any, and also investigate by doing self-initiated investigations. The City Project would be happy to meet with the commissioners and staff if you would like more details, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Daphne, and thank you for sharing the materials. Next, we have Catherine Welch Howe, followed by Ben McHugh, and then followed by Susanna Montes.
Hello. Welcome to Los Angeles, and thank you for your excellent, very excellent work in the broad scope of the issues the commission has taken on. I'd like to talk today about Section 3C2, which is on page 22 of your report. My name is Catherine Welch Howe, and my firm, KWH Associates, has worked closely with the California State Parks Department and the California State Parks Foundation to prepare 6 pilot projects for the adaptive reuse of historic properties in California state parks. And I wish to strongly endorse the cultural resource recommendations in the California State Parks Forward report on page 22. California State Parks has over 3,000 historic properties. Many of them are vacant, deteriorating, and threatened. But many of these also have great potential for state parks in terms of preserving not only the buildings, but important California history, attracting new and diverse audiences, and producing revenue to cover continued maintenance and operating costs. Essentially, they will finally go off the deferred maintenance list. Our feasibility studies confirm the economic viability that vacant historic hotels and houses can be used for affordable overnight lodging, that historic churches in the parks can be used for concerts, meetings, and events, and historic adobes and other structures can be used for visitor services and refreshment centers. Much is already known about the pilot projects, and they should move forward into implementation now. I recently received favorable reaction to when presenting the parks pilot projects at the California Preservation Foundation conference. While the pilot projects are underway, I encourage the State Parks Department to complete a comprehensive survey of its historic properties in order to identify and prioritize the many other historic properties that are suitable for adaptive reuse. Investing in these properties will save important history and buildings and will bring significant vitality and revenue to the parks. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, Catherine. Next is Ben McHugh, followed by Susanna Montes, followed by Yusif Razawi. I'll ask for your help.
First off, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you here today. I'm Ben McHugh, Executive Director of Outdoor Outreach, and we're a youth service nonprofit that operates out of San Diego County, and we use the outdoors and specifically outdoor recreation to inspire underserved youth to see opportunity and possibility in their lives. And with me here today are 5 of our youth leaders. Half of them are paid instructors for us, and we employ them to take out other underserved youth to state parks and other parks that we have, as well as open space areas, to teach them how to surf, rock climb, mountain bike, nature walk, all these exciting things to really turn them on to the joys of our parks and open space areas. In the past 14 years, we've taken over 8,000 underserved youth in San Diego County to connect them to their outdoor spaces. And, you know, we've really concentrated on the outcomes, the youth, you know, youth development outcomes for them. So increases in self-confidence, leadership qualities, increased awareness of health and wellness issues, academic achievement. But by participating in this process, we've also realized that we've really started to create a constituency of park stewards and park advocates in San Diego County. And so that's why I think your recommendations about increasing access to this population is so critical, and specifically to youth, and how do we get them out into these areas. So I'll let them talk in a little bit about kind of some of the specific benefits that they've gotten from state parks, but they've been directly connected to, you know, employment, being accepted and going off to college, as well as a number of other issues. But I can also remind you that in San Diego County, when Proposition 21 went down, you know, only 39% of voters approved that. And if more voters approved that throughout the state, I don't think we'd be having the same dialogue today about how to bring revenue into our state parks. So it's kind of the chicken and the egg, and I understand that, but it's really about, first, I think, connecting more of our community members to their parks so they can understand the value. And then they'll definitely vote, you know, for these propositions and for these bond monies, and we'll have plenty of funding to get, you know, parks open, you know, and for these youth in the future. I think being from a nonprofit, you know, I put a lot more value in the process than actual the plan that was created. And I think that this process, thank you, I really appreciate being a part of it, because it's allowed us to open up a dialogue with our district park superintendent about how to get more of our youth out into parks to deal with some of the obstacles that we've come across in terms of permitting issues for surfing at state beaches, transportation issues, also looking at how we can develop a program to get more of our youth into parks as interns and part-time paid park staff. So thank you so much for that. And also, I've been a part of a very successful partnership between nonprofits, government, local government, state parks, at Borderfield State Park, which has been about cleaning up the Tijuana River. And I think that there are very real examples of these very positive partnerships, and that you should look more at the local level and see how some of those can serve as pilot projects, you know, that they, later we could replicate throughout the state. So thank you for inviting us here today.
Okay, thank you very much, Ben. So we also have, some of the staff members from Outdoor Outreach, Susana Montes, Yusif, and I will ask you, Yusif, to help me with your last name. Sorry about that. And Vincent Culmers.
Good afternoon. My name is Susana Montes, and I was a participant with Outdoor Outreach. And before Outdoor Outreach, I had never been to a state park, and I was raised in San Diego. Been there for 17 years. I am 19. And never been to a state park till I was 17, so I didn't know what it was. And as soon as I started, like, being involved in the outdoors, I grew a lot of awareness towards them and realized that how uneducated and how little I know about what's out there, and just in San Diego itself, like, what's more than just my backyard. And being educated on it and, like, knowing that it's critical to have these little areas for us. And growing up not knowing, I was able to finally decided to bring it along with me and teach others as well. So when I was like thinking, like, what are the issues, why my community doesn't know about these parks, and what was transportation and financial. And when we were driving up here from San Diego, we passed us on Ofric State Beach, and we saw the Amtrak, and we're like, how nice would it be if we could stop right here and just go to the beach, like, just have a station right here where we could go swim and just enjoy it. And, like, that's one of the issues, not having transportation to get to these places. And they're very far apart from where we live, so it's really hard to get to them. And to be able to take my family out there would be a challenge. And for other families, I'm pretty sure it would be, other families in my community would be the same situation. And as I kept thinking, it's like, I decided to try to, like, involve more kids my age to join, to be aware of these stuff, because we are the future. Like, we are the people. Soon I will be sitting in your position and trying to be part of Parks Forward and to motivate other students to come out. So I decided to go to college and, like, start bringing my partners out and taking them out to the beach and stuff like that. And I think, oh God, I'm getting really nervous. It's really important. I think it's really important, and I appreciate that you guys are trying to like save these areas that we don't have and that we can be having for other people. And so, yeah, that's all I have to say so far. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Susanna. Yusuf, followed by Vincent, followed by Luis Perez. And Yusuf, help me out with your last name.
Hello, everybody. My name is Yusuf Ferizuki. All right. So here I am with Outdoor Outreach. First, I was introduced to the outdoors through Outdoor Outreach. Beforehand, I really didn't care about much about the environment or anything. Now I really like care about the environment. If I would see like a piece of trash on the ground, I would pick it up and put it where it belongs. And that really helped. Like, would help. Like some, that thing would on the ground would help on the through the long run. So throughout what Outdoor Outreach is doing right now is like helping youth to get outdoors, but it's not reaching to everybody. So what we don't have we don't have right now is like people don't know like there are a lot of like state parks that exist throughout the country that they would love to visit or things like that. So this is like one of the obstacles that we have. And through one 2 years ago, Outdoor Outreach introduced us to Outdoor Nation, where we, groups of like teenagers, started talking about state parks and stuff like that. And then a few students and I like came up with an idea of an app, like to have like a lot of state parks on it, like beaches, hiking trails and stuff like that. But that would help, like we were thinking of that, would help like the students or people or youth to get outdoors through technology, because right now technology is the most big thing that we have right now. And we are really working on it right now to probably improve that right now. And that's what I have so far.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yusuf. So Vincent Colmer, followed by Luis Perez.
Good evening, and thank you for having us. My name is Vincent Culliver, and as Ben told you, I'm with Outdoor Outreach. I raise this mic.
There you go.
First off, thank you for having us, and thank you for giving us a reason to escape from San Diego and come up to beautiful LA. I was first introduced to the outdoors in 2007 as a homeless youth in San Diego. Confined to a boxed-in environment and boxed-in state of mind, I had little knowledge of what I wanted to out of my future and wanted out of myself. Exposure to the outdoors and parks through Outdoor Outreach has increased my knowledge, increased my awareness, increased my motivation to get my peers outdoors and get my friends who are stuck on the couch and stuck on their Xbox outdoors and just to wake up and open their eyes. The outdoor activities really helped me open my eyes and break away from the stagnant environment I was confined to. I am now continuing the cycle and recruiting more and more outdoor enthusiasts. Today, the obstacles we have are transportation and getting these lower-income youth to parks, which are often across town. Access is another huge, given the closures and struggles we face obtaining these permits for the various outdoor activities. I'd like to say thank you for the motion set in place, given the transportation and access. I'm here with peers that have all transformed to the outdoors, and hopefully we are here as evidence and fuel for this initiative. So thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Vincent. We have Luis Perez, followed by Alexis Morrow.
Hello, my name is Luis Perez. Like you guys already know, I came with Outdoor Outreach. How I first got involved with outdoors was introduced to me in high school when I was still early enough for me to be able to do something with it. But one of the problems that we have during the modern day is that kids don't have the time to go to school or work. I mean, kids don't have the time to to go outdoors because of school or work. So we need to make it work. They're wild to go to the nature. So offering job opportunities through the outdoors would be one way to help them where they could achieve their goals in while being in school and also being during the outdoors. So, for example, like just being able to get a job while getting offered by the state parks would be one way. I know that because that's where I came from. I got offered a job with that driver, as you guys know. So, and that this really opened up a lot of opportunities for me to be able to go to national forests, national state parks, and just being able to make that part of my life, being part of who I am, is just really helped me to you know go out into the parks. And just being able to have this part of being able to have this be part of my life, and just being able to work is one way that we can make a lot of people come to the outdoors and just you know being able to. Sorry, I'm not really good at speaking. But yeah, just being able to offer job opportunities to kids, it would be a great way to open up new doors for other people to come to the national parks and stuff like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lise. You did great. All right, now we have Alexis Morrow, followed by Gary Polakovich, and then that's the last card I have right now, so if there are others who do wish to provide a public comment during this first public comment session, please raise your hand. We'll get you a card. All right, please, Lexis.
Hi, my name is Lexis Morrow. As you know, I...
Yeah, speak close to the mic.
All right. Hi, my name is Lexis Morrow. As you know...
Lexis, pull it up. There you go.
Yeah,
can
it needs
you hear
to
me
be
now? Okay, my name is Lexis Morrow. I was a participant of Outdoor Outreach. Right now, I was accepted into their leadership program, which is a program that is a two-year internship where after the two-year internship, you can become a part of the staff like Vincent and Luis and Susanna are. I got my start in the outdoors through my teacher, who constantly nagged me to go to this adventure club that let kids go to the outdoors and let them experience things that cost no money. And at the time, I didn't believe them because the things that they talked about weren't in my dream range. They weren't things that in my social setting that I could do. I went to the club. And from there, my love for nature grew. I went to Torrey Pines. I've been to border fields. I've been to different places. And faced with the opportunity to go out and do these things with my family and by myself, I wasn't able to. The transportation to get there was too much or was way out of my way that we couldn't just get to these amazing places. The resources, whether that be knowledge, whether that be money, they weren't there either. The recommendations that you guys have given in fighting for access to parks and engaging youth are a really good step in the right direction. Having the opportunity to get outside myself has broadened my horizon, has given me places that I've never thought I could get. It's made me explore dreams that I never thought I could accomplish, and it's made me fight for things that I didn't think at one point that I would ever be able to do. Getting the outdoors isn't just seeing trees, isn't just hiking on or mountain biking. It's a chance for a kid to go out and do rock climbing and learn that they can do something that when everyone else is telling them that they can't reach the top, that they can. The challenges and the obstacles that we face, though, are hard, and I know that you guys are fighting for it, but these kids, and I am one of these kids, they want to do this, and they're just like me, they're willing to fight for it. when fighting for the state parks and the access, you're giving a child like me a chance to have that courage and that belief. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks, Alexis. Okay, I think Gary Polakovich is, I believe, our last speaker in this session.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for your service on this warm spring day and for coming to LA to take testimony. I really appreciate it. I'm Gary Polakovic, and I'm a trustee on the board of directors for the California State Parks Foundation. I want to thank you for your preparation of the Parks Forward report, for it being so comprehensive and so thorough. We're particularly grateful that the report acknowledges the work that we have done at Cal State Parks Foundation in our Park Excellence Report. One of your key findings is a finding that we can endorse, and that would be the overall framing of the Department of Parks and Rec as a statewide facilitator, leader, and collaborator for the parks, as opposed to a direct provider of the multitude of services and functions that should be provided at our parks. We also strongly endorse the finding that engaging all Californians in the state park system is critical. And you've heard a number of testimony today from different walks of life to how important the parks are for everyone. We endorse the theme that there should be more effective and equitable partnerships in the park. We're certainly committed to that. And we understand, perhaps more than most, the limits on public agencies in terms of finances and the wherewithal to accomplish everything that they're tasked in a mission. We realize the importance of parks as the connective tissue and the very fabric of communities that give us our values, our sense of place, purpose, and history. I'd like to address in particular this call for the a park support entity in the Parks Forward plan. We're intrigued with the idea of this, but we have questions and concerns, particularly as to what the portfolio of tasks would be for this new entity. We believe that the new support entity needs a clarity and a focused and an appropriately scaled portfolio to carry out its task in the most efficient and effective manner. We believe that such an entity should exist to provide new value and that is to fill gaps that we may already have in our system, but not be duplicative with what is already being done and being done quite well, frankly. We see several of the roles for this new support entity that overlap with what Cal State Parks Foundation is doing today. In particular, our organizational capacity and effectiveness, our work in communications and marketing and digital information. We have 130,000 members, and we work with dozens of park support systems up and down California from one end to the other. And we help with technical capacity, staff, resources, fundraising for all of these. Fundraising is important as well. Lord knows the parks need more revenue. We understand that. This has been one of our core missions from the very, very beginning. We could see the need for a new entity that has a particular focus on things that are not duplicative but help augment what's already going on. Fundraising would clearly be an area where we could all use help to benefit our parks. But it's also important that if we are able to gain more revenue, and this entity can help do that, that the money is used effectively and responsibly, transparently, and with accountability, and that the internal structure within DPR is able to do that. I want to thank you for the chance to provide comments. I want to thank you again for coming here to listen to our testimony. It's a very, very important step to improving our park system, and we are as dedicated to that as you are. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gary. So was there anyone we missed this morning, or I guess in our first session here? Okay, before we stop for a break, I just want to take a few moments to reflect back on some of what we've heard, albeit not everything, but just to come to closing with this first session. As with the last commenter, we heard a number of comments about the proposed support entity, the need for clarity around what it's supposed to be doing, make sure it has an appropriate portfolio that is filling gaps and addressing needs rather than duplicating what's already being done. We heard a number of comments on the importance of addressing access issues and keys to doing so. We heard about the importance of addressing the needs of all user groups out there and making sure that access is available to all who can support parks. We heard about the need, and in addition to the report, of having better targeted programming as being a key to improving access, and also several comments about the importance of reducing barriers, such as transportation barriers. A couple comments about funding and the importance of having multiple sources of funding. Also several comments about partnerships and about the importance of sort of strategic partnerships and parks making sure that its partnerships are appropriate in that way. And we had a couple of comments as well on the need for the report to acknowledge what's going on with local partnerships and to be building upon those. And in particular, we heard from examples of what's going on at local or county parks. There was a recommendation for an addition to the report, which is the idea of including a civil rights section to it in some way, or grounding the report in some way more explicitly in terms of civil rights. And then finally, there were a number of comments that I think were generally supportive of the report as is, especially in terms of the importance of better access, the focus on youth. We've heard lots of comments there, some of the health benefits associated with parks, and finally also the importance of some of the recommendations for protecting both cultural and natural resources. So a quick overview of what we heard on my watch.
Let's do it. Let's go start at 5:30.
It's 5 o'clock right now. We are scheduled to take a break in 15 minutes and reconvening at 5:30. And so I'm going to recommend that we actually reconvene at 5:30 as the agenda currently states. For the folks who are trying to show up at the beginning of that second public comment period. For those of you who are interested to stay, we do have delicious food in the back and welcome you to do so. And we'll be starting up at 5:30. Anything else?
Right. And then AGP will come back on at 5:30, so you can just let them know that we'll be back at 5:30 for continuing public comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate everybody's participation. Take care. We'll be back at 5:30. Okay, we're good. Okay, thank you. Welcome back, and we have, I think, only a few new participants this afternoon. We do have some participants from earlier this afternoon who are filling out the sticky notes and making written comments to the individual recommendations. We invite others to do that as well. We, at this point, do want to do another round of public comment, and so I know we've had one right now. Are there folks here who would like to make public comment again? Please raise your hand.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing any.
Okay, what we will do is we will, as we did in San Rafael when we were in the situation, we'll basically be here, but we're going to cut off the video presentation. If anybody does come, we'll make sure their comment gets on the record. I will be here along with some staff, but at this point, I don't think there's any point in just broadcasting that we don't have anything, and there are nachos in the back, right? So we're with the nachos. That's what we'll do. Okay, anyway, thank you all for being here, and like I say, I will be here till 7 if anybody comes in to make sure that we connect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again.